Welcome into the show, that 590 show, back for the second hour, taking you up to 8 p.m. Matt Rocchio and John Giamatti. Rudolph taking you up to 8 p.m., of course, on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2, and inside STL.com. You can also check us out on the 590 app. Download that, and you can listen to us anywhere. Crystal clean your car. Doesn't matter if you're going under an underpass or traveling outside of the state, you will get us no matter what on the beautiful app. I know our man TJ Moe joining us now to talk some college football is always listening to the station on the app. It's the best way to do it, is it not, TJ?
Yeah, you know, if I am in my house, I listen to it on the app. If I am in the car, the greatest invention in the history of the world is HD radio. If you go to 105.7 HD2, that is crystal clear, and that is how I do that in the car.
There it is. Okay, well, we're going to be talking a little bit of college football. Not too much Mizzou talk, about half and half for Mizzou and then general college football talk. I do want to – this is going to be a very quarterback-centered argument. We can't get around it. That's the one that runs everything, and also just a lot of interesting talking points around Mizzou and college football when it comes to the quarterback. So right off the bat, getting a little argument on Twitter today I saw about Drew Locke, talking about his arm strength. He's an NFL quarterback. What his issues are right now at Mizzou. Let's push back the negatives, the issues he's having at Mizzou, and talk about just the raw talent of Drew Locke, because that's a lot happier to talk about right now. And man, watching some of these clips that you've liked or retweeted, and some other ones that other people have put out, I am starting to get a sense he might be one of those guys who, despite whatever he does in college, the NFL takes a look at him because, I mean, he's got it all. That arm strength, it's not just one thing. For me, it's the velocity he gets the ball out and the way he puts it on a rope. I mean, you know, those 14-yard out routes, it's not just having the big arm. It's not just having the ability to get the ball there. You got to get it there on a tight rope, or else it's not going anywhere for you.
Well, yeah. Listen, if we're just breaking out, forget the win-loss and forget decision-making and basically forget everything that makes you a great quarterback, and just look robotically at what his skill level is, and not really skill level, I should say, what his raw talent as it relates to his arm strength and his athletic ability and his footwork. Yeah, he's incredible. You know what he could end up being, and this would be a shame specifically for Mizzou fans. If you remember a guy by the name of Jake Locker, who was a first-round pick out of Washington, he was never great in college. In fact, I think he had a year, and I should have come prepared with this year, but I think they had a year at Washington where they didn't win a game.
I believe you're correct.
Yeah, in 2007, he only completed 47% of his passes. Now, he was a redshirt freshman, and you don't expect him to be great. He threw 15 interceptions to only 14 touchdowns, right? Not great. The next year, he must have been hurt because he only had 93 attempts, so we'll give him a pass on that. But then his junior year, only completed 58% of his passes. And again, you want to be – if you can be – specifically, you guys remember, Colt McCoy, the really good college quarterbacks, they're completing 70% of their passes, right? Chase Daniel was up there in the 60s. If you can be 60, you're in pretty good shape in college because of the volume and things that you have.
And if you're below that, I mean, I remember that was the only thing that people knocked Matthew Stafford for coming out of Georgia, is that his completion percentage was only right around 60%. And the only conversation was, if his completion percentage is going to be that in college, what in God's name is it going to be in the NFL? Obviously, he worked out. But nonetheless, there was a lot of freaking out just by seeing a number even close to just 60 from a college quarterback.
Yeah, and you're listen, we're talking about first-round picks and things like that. But, yeah, we can go through the records. So the years that Jake Locker was at Washington, 2007, 8, 9, and 10. 7, 9, and 10, he was healthy. I should finish what I was saying first. 2010, his senior year, only 55% completion percentage, 17 touchdowns and 9 interceptions, right? That's not very good. You go through those years, 7, 9, and 10. 2007, they were 4-9. 2008, they were 0-12. 2009, they were 5-7. 2010, 7-6. So I guess in 2008, which was the year he was hurt, is the year that they were 0-12. Does he make that? I mean, they were only winning 4 or 5 games with him. But the bottom line is, he had all this dripping in talent, right? I mean, he was incredible. He was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. And never could put it on the field, but he was incredible. He was incredibly mobile. He was picked before Blaine Gabbert, right? He was in that Cam Newton Blaine Gabbert draft.
Yeah, he was eighth. He was eighth overall. Yeah, a couple picks right there before Blaine. I mean, that's an incredibly good comparison, because really, when you remember the conversations around Jake Locker, it really was that he had every single tool. He was mobile. He had a huge arm. He could see the defenses. He was with a guy who we obviously know pretty well now. His coach was Steve Sarkisian, and everyone thought that Sarkisian was going to just mold him into this amazing quarterback with the raw talent he had. I hadn't thought about that one. That is an incredibly good comparison, because, again, Drew's not putting together, he's not putting up the stats, and he's making mistakes you don't want to see. But, man, when he catches it, a ball in a shotgun, and he's able to, you know, put it out onto a screen pass, and the ball does not wobble at all, and it gets out there, I mean, that's not nothing. I mean, I saw Deshaun Watson in a game this past week for the Texans. They set up a screen pass. It was broken up entirely because Deshaun Watson isn't a guy with an absolute cannon. So he got the screen pass out there just a little bit too slow. That's the kind of stuff that when NFL teams see it, they drool, even though six plays later you throw it into triple coverage against Missouri State somehow.
Yeah, and your problem with that is you're hard-pressed to find a guy that wasn't very good in college that became a star in the NFL.
Yeah, there's a couple, but I mean, it's the numbers is very
rare.
It's two or three guys in the last 10 years, really.
And what's the common? I mean, name those guys. Who are they, Rock?
I mean, the biggest one that comes out to me is that Tony Romo wasn't that great of a college quarterback.
Yeah, and he didn't ever win too much of any. Now, he's don't get me wrong. He was a very good quarterback, but he couldn't ever win it, really.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about Tom Brady. He wasn't putting up huge numbers at Michigan.
Tom was really good. That's a really bad comparison, and people say that. Go back and watch Tom. He kind of got screwed a little bit as it related to Drew Henson being the hometown boy that everybody wanted.
True.
But Tom Brady was really good in college, and if you watch him and break it down, then you could see. Now, let's put it this way. He won the Rose Bowl, okay? So it's not like – when I say, like, who sucked, you're talking about guys that, like, Jake Locker was winning 4 and 5 – games a year, and then retired at age 26 because he's like, this isn't any fun. I don't like football, right? That's kind of what you go into. I don't agree with you on the Brady comparison. I think that is overplayed quite a bit. I think Romo's a good one. I don't know what his stats are or how he was exactly in college. I know he was at a lower level.
He was at Eastern Illinois, and he put up big stats. But, I mean, when you have 15 interceptions and you're playing for East Illinois, you know, people are going to come down on you for that one. Yeah, you're right. The Brady one, it's kind of the – he was kind of a victim of the style of football that Michigan's going to be trying to play, especially in the late 90s. You know, they only threw the ball, you know, just under 300 times. He only had 180 completions. So the fact that he wasn't putting up huge numbers isn't a huge knock against. But
that's not even what I'm talking about as much, Rock. Honestly, what I think I mean by this is guys who contribute to the fact that their team is very good. Yeah. Who goes from a loser to being very good. And thus far, Drew Locke, I hate to say it because I am a Missouri homer like you wouldn't believe. You know that, Rock. Mm-hmm. But so far, he's been a guy that has led losing teams, right? I mean, they won 4 games last year. They won 5 his freshman year. And right now, they're 1-2. And we'll see what happens throughout the season. But if you are not contributing to your team being a winner as the quarterback, the guy who really has – he's the only guy on the field – outside of a talent like Ndamukong Suh, who can change the outcome of a game by position, right? I mean, Ndamukong Suh did that. I played against him when he was at Nebraska. And when you have that kind of talent, you can do it. Otherwise, it's mostly just the quarterbacks.
Yep.
And Chase Daniel, you put him on this team, they don't get blown out like that against Purdue. Now, the defense wasn't anywhere to be found, but that's probably a shootout. Maybe it's a 50-something game to a 60-something game based on one dude, right? The offensive line isn't committing those same penalties because Chase is whispering in their ear, here's what we're doing, here's how we're going, right? It's guys fall apart without leadership. Now, don't get me wrong, part of that's coaching, right? If you have a lot of penalties, that is not a well-coached team. You should be drilled enough that you aren't committing those penalties. You know how to go about things. You can't have unforced penalties such as false starts and things like that. But a lot of that's on the quarterback, and people don't understand that. And when you're a guy like Drew who really doesn't know football, and he may now, but he certainly didn't, when he came into Mizzou, he was a guy that was a basketball player. He's a very good basketball player in high school. I think he had offer. I've heard this before. I have not confirmed this before. I think he had an offer to go play basketball at Oklahoma State. I mean, he was a good basketball player. And he's tall, and he, as you just pointed out, The dude has all the ability in the world to throw the ball on a rope from the opposite hash on an 18-yard out. Only NFL guys can do that. You don't see many guys in college that can do that. But if you don't know the game and you're going to continue to throw interceptions into cover two, or like you did last week when you don't see the linebacker coming underneath and you try to throw a 15-yard comeback route and you just throw it right to the linebacker, and now that's the second time this year you've done that into the same coverage, then you're going to run into problems. And do you just fix that overnight? What coach is just going to grab onto you and show you the way? I mean, it just doesn't happen very often, and that is where we run into coaches who think that their pride gets in the way of just picking a winner.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, we could talk about the pros and cons and how much talent Drew Lock doesn't have or does, or why he's not showing it till we're blue in the face. But you did mention something there. I want to change topics a little bit there, which is the offensive line. And it's safe to say that as much as we hyped up Drew Lock collectively, this has to be one of the most disappointing parts of the Mizzou this year, because, I mean, even with all the youth in the back end of the defense, you could expect some problems there, and there's guys like Terry Beckner aren't playing well defensive line, but you can throw all that together. But at the same time, we all talked about Mizzou's offensive line being one of the best units, not only for this team, but one of the best units in the conference. So what is going on with this offensive line?
I know what you're saying. it is frustrating. They've only let up 2 sacks on the year, though. So it's not like they're letting up a ton of sacks, but you know what? They were fine week one. Nobody was complaining about the offensive line week one.
Obviously.
And week two, you had DeMario Crockett run for almost 100 yards in the first half. So it hasn't been the line play until this past week. I mean, the line can't make Jaylon Moore catch the ball. And the line can't make Drew Lock make better decisions and not throw an out route really late at the 25-yard line where they turn around and score. So I don't think they've been the issue until this past week when they looked awful. And part of that is a lack of focus. And when you – sometimes the reason for a lack of focus is because guys check out when they think we're getting killed or we're going to lose. And they were already getting hammered when you started to see the offensive line just fall apart. You have to be able to maintain the focus and realize that you are the focal point of any good team, right? I mean, why were the Cowboys 13-3 last year? Because they have one of the best offensive lines in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
Any great offense, generally, it doesn't always happen, because actually that 2007 Missouri team didn't have a great offensive line. They compensated for it by quick screen plays and getting the ball out of Chase Daniel's hands fast. But most good teams with a great run game have a great offensive line. This team can be a really good offensive line, but as we were just saying, this past week, they had 4 penalties on one play, 3 false starts and a hold. How can that happen? You snap the ball one time, and you've got 4 penalties there. I mean, you're in like 3rd and 24, whatever it was. So I won't go as far to say what's happened to this offensive line just yet. I mean, if this continues, yeah. And to me, it's not a lack of focus thing. It is not something that, you know, thus far has been a big issue. I think they've only had 8 tackles for loss against them thus far. I don't know what the game log is on that, but I'm looking at collegefootballstats.com right now. It's not like the offensive line has been atrocious. They looked really bad in the last game, but again, they've only let up 2 sacks on the year. And, you know, part of this, I think, is recency bias, but I think they'll pick it up. They are not the concern. I think thus far Drew is the concern, the defense is the concern, and the wide receivers being incapable of running any route well that isn't a screen or a fade. That should be your main concern if you are evaluating this team.
All right, we'll look at quickly the national college football scene. 3 games in, obviously a big topic for the football season, both coming in and it will be throughout the rest of the year. Sam Darnold and USC, put aside your hatred for the Gingers for just one moment, TJ. Try to give me...
I will not.
Try to give me 60 seconds of non-biased thought on Sam Darnold 3 games in.
All right, here's my thoughts on Sam Darnold. Last year, everybody watched that final game against Penn State and said, oh my gosh, are we watching the second coming of Andrew Luck? Are we watching Peyton Manning? You watch some of the things that he could do, and it was like borderline freaky here. And that, again, was our recency bias. That's the last impression we had. He went nuts. He was never going to be that guy. That doesn't make him anything less than a really good quarterback. It just wasn't going to be that guy that was going to light you up. He threw multiple interceptions, I think, against Western Michigan. They were losing that game late in the game. They beat Stanford, who we thought, yeah, Stanford, that's a good win. And then Stanford turned around and lost to San Diego State. So maybe that's not a good win. And then you look at Texas, and, okay, you beat them in overtime. You weren't great there either. So I think he is uber talented. He's the guy who kind of has that when we talk about the it factor. He's got, like, the oh, my gosh, jumping off the page at you. When you talk about the three quarterbacks, four quarterbacks that everybody in the college landscape is talking about right now. You have Josh Rosen, who is the guy who's all about mechanics. You watch him play, his delivery, his footwork, everything is perfect over at UCLA. You have Josh Allen, I know who you like, Rock, over at Wyoming, who has been terrible thus far this year. But
man.
Yeah, he's been bad, but he's the guy who you look at and you're like, oh, my gosh, this kid, he's big, his arm is strong, he does everything. You know, they're hoping to be able to find that, I'm blanking on the name, the Eagles quarterback, Carson Wentz. They're hoping he's another Carson Wentz type lower-level guy that can go out there and really do it. And then you have Sam Darnold, obviously Lamar Miller, Baker Mayfield, some of these guys. But Sam Darnold is the guy you look at and you're like, I don't know. He just does freaky things. Like, did you see the jump pass that he made? He's about to get sacked.
And yeah, it makes me think of Tim Tebow.
15 yards.
Every time I see a jump pass, I just think Tim Tebow.
Yeah, well, Tim Tebow never threw a jump pass like that. Tebow would kind of throw a shot putter over the offensive line in the end zone when everybody thought he was going to muscle it in. This jump pass was he's about to get sacked, and he jumped over the line and dropped a dime 15 to 17 yards deep.
Was kind of Aaron Rodgers-esque, wasn't it?
It was incredible. It absolutely was. Yeah. So that is the kind of thing you're like, wow, how does he make these plays? And so, yes, back to the main point, Rock, this is the most important thing I'm going to say. He's a redhead. He has no chance of succeeding.
See, I'm pretty good. That's good, too, because I'm pretty sure you were past 60 seconds there. So you were all good. You did it. It was wonderful. We'll get you out on this one, TJ. 3 weeks in, obviously, very, very early to be saying this. But nonetheless, Oklahoma with a big win. Penn State has another strong start to their season. You just pointed out the weakness of USC's 3-0 start. Oklahoma State's kind of the trendy pick. My roundabout way of asking here, so far, are you going into this? Are you still betting against Alabama in any way, shape, or form for the championship this year?
I'm not betting against Alabama ever. I told you this, and this is experiential bias. They won 3 out of 4 national titles when I was in school, and they still have the same coach, and they're still recruiting the same type of players.
Game over.
That Alabama team in that group and that program is a machine. They will always be in contention for the national title as long as Nick Saban is the head coach there. I don't see that changing at any point in the near future. But when we're talking about who should be ranked first, it's Clemson. You tell me why everybody's looking at Alabama and they're saying, man, Florida State, great, but you beat them 24-7. And I know Florida State's a good team, but they're ranked 12th now. And you beat them and you beat them handily. And there really wasn't ever a game. But then you beat Fresno State, who cares? Colorado State, who cares? And you didn't beat Colorado State by that much. You beat them by 18 points. And then you look at Clemson, who opened up with a cupcake, Penn State, but then they beat Auburn 14-16. Auburn is a really good team. They're the 15th ranked team in the country. And then you beat Louisville, and it was never a game. The only reason it was even 47-21 was because Lamar Miller threw some garbage time touchdowns. You obliterated him. Clemson should be the number one team in the country. And by the way, they're the reigning national champions. So, listen, I'm all for the third rematch here, or the second rematch, the third coming of Clemson-Auburn. I think those two teams both look unstoppable. However, the thing about Oklahoma is when you have a guy like Baker Mayfield, we've seen this throughout college, quarterbacks can lead you to do crazy things. We saw Johnny Manziel do that for years. We saw Cam Newton take them all the way to a championship. When you have a guy like this, who went into Ohio State the way he did. And listen, he lost Samaje Perine. He lost DeeDee Westbrook, who was one of the best receivers in the country last year. He lost Joe Mixon, and they look better. You tell me how that happens. That's all about the quarterback, and I am not counting out the Oklahoma Sooners just yet, even post-Bob Stoops.
I'm pretty sure that Baker Mayfield's entire mission this season is to have so many highlight plays that when you Google his name, him getting tackled by the cop is at least on the second page.
I don't think that's going to happen, Rock, but I think that's a good goal to have.
You're right. That was a pro play by that cop. You're right. That was 100% pro play by that cop. He's not going to beat that. You're 100% right. Thank you so much for your time, TJ. And as of course, everyone can hear your of course, your fountain of wisdom, whether or not it's about politics, women, dating, or things you know more about, like football, from 3 to 6 p.m., obviously, on the hard line. And then when you guys make the switch after October, it'll be from 1 to 3 p.m. Thank you so much for your time, TJ.
All right, buddy. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
See you later. There he is, TJ Moe, former wide receiver at the University of Missouri, former Patriot, former Ram, and, of course, currently hosting the Hardline alongside Cam Jansen, Eric Messersmith, and periodically John Hadley. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. The phone lines are open, ladies and gentlemen. Bring me what you think, what you want to talk about. Cardinals and Blues both in action right now. We might drop a little updates on those two pieces of information. But beyond that, we are an open book. Let us know your thoughts. Let us know what you want to complain about. And we'll have some things on our end as well, as we always do. What movie do you want to ruin tonight, Giamatti? We got 31 minutes to ruin a movie. Let's find one.
We'll find one.
Let's roll with it. Yes, you're damn right. We'll find one. I trust us here. Man, you are really going into an odd place for the music today. This song did not. There's not a day where I did not go listen to this song. Fun. They popped out of nowhere and they were good. You want to make?
Times of Missouri.
You know what? I tweeted this yesterday. And I have no problem with it. You know what song I've listened to? What song I've listened to like on a daily basis for the last like 2 weeks?
What's that?
That new Kesha song.
I don't think I've heard.
Have you heard it?
I was on a good song. Portugal the Man kick for a while.
Man,
that was a great song.
Portugal the Man. No, we're coming back with Fits in the Tantrums. Right. I got. Yeah, I can't stop playing Fits in the Tantrums, man. Anyway, we're gonna take a quick break here. You're listening to that 590 show on 590 The Fan 105.7 HD2. St. Louis and InsideSTL.com and also 590fan.com.
So I met up with some friends at the edge of the night at a bar of 75. And we talked and talked.